I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, Liberty Mutual brings us now, we call him the all-time greatest soccer player in the United States. I certainly do. He's Landon Donovan. Landon, thank you very much for coming on the program.
How you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you on. I was just reminiscing with Mike Pearson here, who's my producer, about the time I took a radio show to mainstream media, and guess who said he would come on and help me the very first show? You.
Well, I was happy to help out, and I'm happy to help out now.
And that was many years ago. All right, let's just get into a couple things. I really want to focus on you right now and just the whole post now soccer. You've come full circle. These are things, obviously, I think you said you needed to do for yourself as a person. Were you getting worried you were getting too defined by the sport of soccer?
It's a good question, and I think it's something that some athletes think about for sure. I always thought about it. I'm not naive, right? I'm always going to be linked in that way, and more times than not, when people recognize me, they'll say, "Oh, are you the soccer guy?" And part of me wants to say, "No, I'm Landon." You know, but I understand that that's a big piece of what my life has been for most people. So I understand that, but it's kind of fun now, exciting now, a little scary now to reinvent yourself. And so I'm enjoying the challenge. I'm enjoying the opportunity. I'm obviously still going to stay connected to this game that I love so much and that it's been such a big part of my life. But I also want to do other things and try new things and see what other passions I have.
You were named sort of the face of the sport here in this country at a very, very young age. Did you kind of realize what was going on at that point? I mean, obviously it was performance-based as well, but did you kind of get what was going on, and was that ever something that was pretty fearful?
To be honest, I didn't really understand it, and only now as I got older in the last few years of my career, and especially now that I'm outside of the game and starting to understand the business side a little bit more, am I really grasping what that all was and what that all is. And it's very interesting because it's all tied to performance, as you said, but there's so many other pieces and so many other things that go involved to that 90 minutes on the field on a given night. And so it's been good for me to learn what goes on behind the scenes. As you know, when you spend time on a broadcast, you see that there's so much production that goes into it. When you spend some time with the game operations people, when you talk to sponsors, when you talk to networks and U.S. Soccer and Major League Soccer, you just start to understand that there's so much more that goes into that 90-minute performance. And part of my, I think, desire is to help players understand that, because sometimes we're so wrapped up in our own world of playing, understandably so, that you don't have an appreciation for all the other stuff that goes on.
He's Landon Donovan, brought to us by Liberty Mutual. We appreciate Landon coming to us from Boston. Was there a specific time frame when the sport began to be more of a job to you? Is there a moment you remember when it became more of a job?
I don't remember the moment when it came that way, but I think it's an evolution that every athlete goes through at some point. A wake-up call for me was after the 2006 World Cup, because until then I had been the sort of darling and I could do no wrong, and I vividly remember all of a sudden I was being criticized, and that had never happened to me before. So that was a big moment of waking up. And I think what happens is you go through ups and downs with respect to it feeling like a job versus feeling fun. And so when you're young, it's so enjoyable because all you're doing is going out and playing soccer every day. And then there comes a point where you have expectations, you have responsibility, you're expected to do well, help the team. For me, it was doing a lot of off-the-field things to help promote the sport. And there was days, probably in my mid-20s, where I would wake up and I was tired. I was exhausted from it, and it wore me out. So then the challenge was, how do I make it fun again? And so then it would be fun for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. And then sometimes it would go back to, oh, it's feeling like a job again. So the challenge for me, and I think most athletes deal with this, is finding the way to always keep it enjoyable. Because, oh, by the way, that's when you play best as well.
Landon Donovan joining us again, courtesy of Liberty Mutual. And we're really excited to have him on the program here tonight on Everton. Let's go back to Everton, because I thought you adjusted to Everton and the whole Premier League experience in amazing fashion. I remember you once telling me in a prior interview that you got over there and you were thrust right into the starting lineup against Arsenal. Can you recount that story when you're sitting in the room prior to the game, I believe in a hotel, and you're going to get put right into the starting lineup, and even you were surprised?
Yeah, so when I went to Everton in 2010, I think the expectation for me and probably for everybody was that I would work my way in, maybe play a few games, and then head back to Major League Soccer. I think there was only 12 or 13 games that I potentially could have played. And I remember getting there on a Sunday, and the first game was at Arsenal on the Saturday. And I trained Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I had not done any training in the off season except a couple weeks worth of running after the MLS season. And on Friday, when we were sort of walking through practice and going over Arsenal, David Moyes, the coach, walked over and he said, just so you know, we're debating whether or not we're going to start you tomorrow. We may start you, we may start someone else, but I just want you to know to be ready. And I said, I held it together. I said, okay, I'm ready, coach. You know, but inside I was thinking, I haven't even trained 4 days with this team. That's kind of crazy. And so in the pregame meeting, we walked into the meeting, and he named off the team, and I was in the team. And the good thing about that was I didn't really have time to think about it all. It was, you know, it wasn't at the end of this week you're going to be starting the game. It was in 3 hours you're starting. And so obviously I was a long-time pro, and I knew what I was doing, but there was still some anxiety and nerves around it. But it ended up going really well. It was a lot of fun and enjoyable. It snowed for a lot of that game, and it was a little bit different than Southern California, but it was a great experience and one I'll always remember.
Landon, that's a different fan base than maybe what we have here in the United States. Those are people totally invested in the provincial side of Everton in Liverpool. This is a different fan, and you won them over 100%. Speak to me about that sort of relationship with their fans there, because they absolutely adored the way you played the game. They loved you being a part of the team. They were chanting USA, the whole thing. And it is a different experience when the scrutiny is even deeper, right?
Yes. Well, I was fortunate because I walked in the first day I got there, they had a game. And I got in about noon, and the game was at 3 o'clock. And I walked to the stadium with my agent, Rich, and we were walking through the stadium. And as I walked through, I had a beanie on my head. And so I was, as unrecognizable as you could be. And as I was walking through the stadium, the ushers, the people that worked there, the fans were turning and saying, "Welcome, Landon, welcome, Landon." And I just immediately felt so loved by the people. And they were aware of what was going on. They were excited to have me there. And It was really special in that way. And from that moment, I felt like I was a part of that family. And the one important piece of advice I got there, I was in the locker room the first week I was there, and one of the older coaches who had been there for a long time, was a youth team coach who had played for Everton, said, listen, the one thing that matters at this club is that you run and you work hard. And he said, no matter what you do, you make a bad pass, a bad shot, whatever, nobody cares as long as you run and you work hard. And so I just kept that with me. And sure enough, you know, as long as I ran and tried and gave everything I had, the crowd loved it. And that for me was a really easy place to be and a really easy transition.
Do you ever wish you could have stayed there longer?
Yeah, I do. I think it would have been enjoyable. But, you know, I had made a commitment to the Galaxy that I was only going to stay for that 3 months, and I wanted to be a man of my word, so I stuck to that. But, you know, sometimes I think about, you know, what might have been had I stayed there. But I think in the end it was the right decision, and it worked out well for everyone.
Landon, we'll get one more quick question in here. Just for my listeners, and I know you've spoken about this before, just kind of give us the piece on Jurgen Klinsmann not going to the last World Cup.
Well, time heals wounds. So, you know, over time, it's been a lot easier to digest. At the time, as everyone can imagine, it's not easy. But I think what happened after some of the aftermath was I realized that I should have been there and I deserve to be there, but life isn't always fair. And I think in my career, for the most part, I was really fortunate to have a lot of breaks go my way. I was always part of all the teams I was on, and it just made me realize that life isn't always that way, and that, oh, by the way, there was a lot of people that didn't get those same breaks. There was a lot of players that didn't get named to teams, and it gave me some compassion for what that's like, and I had never had that before. So, I'm a little bit, I like to see the big picture, and at the time it was horrible, but learning that and gaining that compassion was an important piece for me, and I sort of trust that it's all working out the way it's supposed to, and that's the way it is. So fortunately, time lets you heal a little bit and just keep moving forward.
Landon, listen, thank you very, very much for coming on, and it was nice to hear you say that you want to remain in the sport, because I think the sport still needs Landon Donovan in a big way.
My pleasure. Thank you, Glenn.
What a great opportunity for us to hear from U.S. soccer legend Landon Donovan. Stay with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. So much more to go here on Dynamo All Access.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
We roll on here, Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM, Dynamo All Access. Quick word for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get down to BBVA Compass Stadium this Saturday night. Catch Ricardo Clark and the Houston Dynamo in action. You can get your tickets over at HoustonDynamo.com. That's HoustonDynamo.com. Bud Light wants you to get down to the stadium, be a part of it at BBVA Compass Stadium. Be in there with like-minded individuals cheering on the Houston Dynamo here in Houston, Texas, your professional soccer team. Our thanks to Bud Light, sponsors of Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. The perfect segue into Dynamo midfielder Ricardo Clark. Ricardo, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot, Glenn.
Well, let's, you know, one thing I wanted to quickly get before we get into Dynamo stuff was yesterday I had an opportunity to interview Landon Donovan, and just wanted to get some words from you on Landon Donovan, because this is a guy you played with the U.S. national team in the 2010 World Cup. You've competed with him, against him. How about a few thoughts on the legendary U.S. national team player?
Yeah, I mean, his actions speak for itself. He's a really classy guy. He's, he's the face of U.S. soccer for the longest time. And, you know, he's a great guy, great teammate, great leader. And, like I said, his action show for itself, playing in World Cup, winning MLS Cup championships, and you know, he's done great things. He deserves everything he has. He puts in the work. He's consistent, and he's been consistent throughout his whole career, in my opinion. And just a great player to play around and learn off of, and just help myself grow by you know, following him and his actions and what he's done on the field.
Well, I know many people would look across the locker room and say, "Boy, I'm really glad to have Ricardo Clark on my team." Is that the sense you got with Landon Donovan? And talk a bit about that a little bit, just his presence and being on a team that has a player of that caliber, both from the mental and physical side.
Yeah, for sure. You know, he's always going to come through in the big game. And, you know, for instance, when we played in South Africa against Algeria in the group stages, he was always that player that, you know, you look to, and you know when he's on the field, he's going to do something special. And, you know, scoring that goal against Algeria to put us through to the knockout round was just something that he's done and has always been known for throughout his career. Whether it be Gold Cups, Confederations, everything. He's just been solid in everything he does. And it's his personality too is amazing. You know, very low key guy. Isn't really all about the hype and goes a long way in his character and he's just gonna lead the guys. He's vocal when he needs to be and in every aspect of his game, he was just a true leader.
He's Ricardo Clark commenting on Landon Donovan, now not a part of Major League Soccer anymore in the U.S. national team, but what a remarkable career he had. Yesterday we had him on Soccer Matters over on ESPN 97.5. Ricardo Clark, the goal scorer, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's been somewhat true this year. You know, I've been able to find the net on a couple occasions this year. Obviously, I've set a career record for goals. You know, credit to my, you know, Owen and my role on the team and you know, noticing that and giving me the opportunity to explore going forward. And I've been fortunate to be at the right place at the right time on a couple occasions this year. You know, my main role is to be a box-to-box midfielder. If I spot that opportunity to create chances, then I'm going to do it. And thankfully, it's worked out for the most part, but hopefully we can get it going, too, also on the latter part of the season when it matters.
Ricardo Clark joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Does your role get slightly or subtly altered depending on the personality that's next to you? In other words, does the Ricardo Clark role change a little bit if you're next to Luis Garrido, if you're next to Nathan Sturgis? Does it change?
Yeah, for sure. You know, when I'm in there with Nate and Garrido, like you said, my role does change a little bit. Obviously, Luis naturally is a holding midfielder and is going to sit in there and kind of break up plays and be a workhorse in there, which gives me the opportunity to move forward and create chances. You know, with Nate in there too, Nate has a little bit more of a, you know, creative spark in the offensive third, so. He'll find his opportunities to get forward and he can be creative from that D mid position. So, you know, I say with both guys in there, I'm still able to explore my opportunities, going forward. I think another, something else that kind of affects my role is, the system we play in. You know, I think, we've been consistent with either a 4-3-3 or a 4-4-2. You know, when we're in a 4-4-2, I have to choose my opportunities a little bit more. You know, I have to be a little bit more selective about my runs going forward because, you know, I don't want to leave too much of a gap in the midfield. Whereas in a 4-3-3, you know, there's more license to really get in the attack. So It's just playing how the game dictates and what our tactics are for the given day and just going along with that.
Ricardo, the next four games, you got 3 out of 4 at home. Is it essential that you win all these home games at this point with the knowledge that you got Seattle, Vancouver at the back end of the season?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We want to take advantage of our opportunities at home and just, you know, do what we've done all season. And that's been dominant at home. I think it'll set us up nice and put us in a good position to really make a really hard playoff run.
All right. Every athlete goes through some very tough decision making in their careers. Back in 2013, and this is an article on HoustonDynamo.com, heart arrhythmia emerged during the August 17th game against Seattle. Scary moment. Scary moment for you as a human being, your health. I can only imagine what went on in your mind. You even considered potentially, obviously, retiring from the game based on this. Tell me about this moment. Tell me how scary this was and the contemplation of maybe never playing the game again, but more importantly, just your overall health.
Yeah. Like you said, back in 2013. I had some episodes where I had some irregular heartbeat. And when those episodes would come on, I'd feel a little bit faint, and it was more of a scare than anything. You know, obviously, if you're dealing with a knee injury or ankle injury, you kind of, you know, it's a little bit more of a easier issue to deal with than if it's your heart. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's something you don't want to lose and you can't replace or want to have surgery on. So, it was, I think the Seattle game was where it was kind of the tipping point. I was like, I felt it a couple of times before that and just kind of decided to shut it down and figure out what really was going on. At the end of the day, they did a whole bunch of tests and saw different doctors, cardiologists, my team doctor, did a lot of research and whether it be online and talking to other physicians and trainers and whatnot. And, at the end of the day, it was a very mild case of what I had and was something that, I didn't really need to be too concerned about. I know that there were remedies out there to help the situation. I chose the more homeopathic remedies and to this day I really have not felt those episodes much at all. I picked up on my yoga. I've been going strong with yoga for about maybe 8 years prior to that, but after that I incorporated into my regimen about almost every single day. I'd say at least 5 days a week, if not more. And that's been a huge benefit to my condition and just my overall play, in general. And it's been great for my body. And I just want to keep consistent and keep with that. And I think everything will be okay.
Yeah, and the good news is Ricardo had all kinds of tests, EKGs, an echocardiograph, yeah, a heart monitor, a 12-lead stress test, all ruled out any abnormalities. So I don't want to get anybody scared. But the back end of this is, how has it changed the way you look, let's just say, at life?
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, in regards to my playing career, I'd say, because soccer is such a big part of my life and always has been, it was an eye-opening experience because nobody wants to, retire in that way. And that's obviously what I was contemplating at that time. And it just strengthened me mentally. It made me realize that, I don't want to take anything for granted. And, especially in my playing career. So that's why you see me on the field every day, doing what I can do to make my game better, to make my physical body better in every aspect. And, I've been lucky, like I said, ever since then, not to have any episodes. And I just want to continue in that way just keep striving, man, keep improving.
Ricardo, you've had an outstanding season. It's been a joy to watch you play. We look forward to seeing you play against Real Salt Lake this weekend, and best of luck.
All right, thank you.
All right, Ricardo Clark taking on Real Salt Lake this weekend. Get over to HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. This is a big one. Javier Morales, one of the great playmakers in league history, coming in for Real Salt Lake. The Dynamo need to get the full 3 points this weekend. And don't forget, Real Salt Lake is desperate as well, because they need points just as much as the Houston Dynamo. We'll take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. And as we mentioned, the Houston Dynamo this Saturday, it's September 12th, 7:30 p.m. kickoff, BBVA Cup of Stadium. Dynamo taking on Real Salt Lake. I encourage you to get down to the stadium, because the Dynamo have three out of their next four at home. In a great place now to make a move to get into one of those playoff spots in the Western Conference. And joining us right now, a man who's done something nobody has ever done for the Houston Dynamo. Three consecutive years with 10-plus goals or more. He is Dynamo striker Will Bruin. Will, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Yeah, no problem. Always a good time, Glenn.
Well, look, you guys come off a great win against Vancouver, a great home win. Perfect thing to happen before getting a bit of a break here, having an off weekend, the international window. Is this a good thing to kind of get you guys refreshed for these next four games, which are going to be pretty critical?
Yeah, exactly. Especially getting that win against Vancouver going into the break makes the break much better. But, getting away in August and the beginning of September, after it's been a long summer, long season, just being able to get away physically and mentally is huge coming into this final last 2 months to make a push for the playoff spot.
Now, look, I know I've asked you this many times over the years, but what do you do kind of to get away and kind of shut the game off in order to sort of reboot yourself for that great job of going back out there and scoring goals?
I like to get on the golf course. Even though I'm not that good, it's still just fun to go out and play sports, be involved in sports, but do something that you're not doing every day, you know? So for me, just going out trying to hit the golf ball around the course is nice and relaxing and fun, as long as it's not 1,000 degrees out.
How difficult has this year been with players in and out due to international duty? Because it has hit the Dynamo pretty hard at times. It's tough to get cohesion when that happens, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Guys have been coming and going. That just shows the quality and depth on our team. But it's been hard to kind of have everybody at training all the time, especially through the summer with the Gold Cup. I mean, when everybody's back, you want to put your best 11 on the field. So, like you said, getting that cohesion and getting that that chemistry is really important. And that's kind of been kind of tough with guys coming and going.
Now, Kubo Torres has been getting worked into the lineup there. I mean, how difficult is that for you guys? Because you guys are both trying to figure each other's tendencies out as soccer players. And each guy's got strengths. Each guy's got things he's good at and you want to accent. Talk a little bit about that partnership with him and trying to merge your game with his.
Yeah, exactly. That right before the game against Vancouver is the first time that we knew we were going to play together. We haven't trained playing together. We haven't combined together and stuff. So it was kind of different, but it's something that we'll definitely get used to. Just talking before the game, we're on the same page. We want to combine with each other each time we get the ball. We want to make runs for each other and open up space. So I think it's something that's just going to just be really good when we get going forward. And then you saw what Giles can do when he's out wide, too. Just running that guy's causing red cards, just creating havoc. So I think when we got all three of us clicking, that's going to be a pretty good force going forward.
Yeah, doesn't that get you excited as a striker? I mean, because, look, we all need people around us, no matter what we do, to accent our abilities. And, you know, you got Giles driving forward and penetrating and drawing defenders. You got the movement of Kubo. You got your pressing play and your movement. I mean, this could be something real good once it gets an opportunity to kind of simmer a little bit.
It really does, because, you know, when you're in the box, defenders, they have to figure out who to mark, and all you need is that half step or that split second. So when there's multiple options in the box and then getting guys forward with me, I think it just is a handful for defenses, and that's going to – somebody's bound to be open and score, and that's good for us.
He's Dynamo striker Will Bruin joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. So to that point, I go to what a lot of commentators said could never happen, and that was at Barcelona, Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez, and Neymar all playing together.
Yeah.
I find that absolutely fascinating because everybody and their brother and mother said this would never work. And I got to go to the manager, Luis Enrique, because he must have somehow positioned this as a win-win for all three guys. And let's face it, these are three of the top-class players in the entire world.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, good players want to play. Great players want to play with great players. And, you know, I'm sure that they all sacrifice just a little bit to make sure they're all on the field together, and I'm sure they all tweak their game a little bit to make sure they're all playing together. But look at the rewards and all the benefits that have come from that. It's kind of made them all, I don't know how much more well-rounded they can get as players, but, you know, it's made their games even better and even more dynamic. And, you know, now they're three best front line in the world.
Speaking of Lionel Messi, Argentina was here this past weekend. Messi put on a performance in 25 minutes that was pretty spectacular and looked as though he was truly coming out, really working his tail off in order to produce something for the fans. I almost felt, what I felt was he had a real connection to the responsibility of wanting to produce something special for these fans. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, for sure. I know he knows wherever he goes, all the fans come out to see him. He's the main attraction. And, you know, I'm sure that he knew some of the fans are disappointed that he wasn't going to start and play a lot, but look, he can't play 90 minutes every game. So when he comes on, I'm sure he puts a little extra pressure on himself to try and do something spectacular, kind of make the fans get their money's worth with the entertainment value. And, you know, he's a magician. He always seems to do something.
Yeah, it was a pretty spectacular moment that Argentina was at BBVA Compass Stadium. All right, so let's switch back to Real Salt Lake. And you know, you guys have played them once this year up in Salt Lake City or actually in Sandy, Utah.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on them? Obviously, you still have a great number 10, a playmaker, Javier Morales, guys like Kyle Beckerman. Talk a little bit about Real Salt Lake and what they bring to the table on Saturday night.
Yeah, obviously, they're gonna have Beckerman and Raimondo back. They didn't have them when we played them. I'm sure Olave is going to be back. Maybe Schuler. We'll go over them more in detail when that time comes. But, you know, they're in need of points, just like we are. And any time you have a team that has their back against the wall and kind of has to get must wins and get points, they're dangerous. And, you know, anything can happen in the MLS. You've seen results. You saw last weekend Philadelphia went to San Jose and beat San Jose. So, anything can happen, but so I know we really have to be ready for a fight and a battle for the 90 minutes.
Will, you mentioned Schuler and Olave, those two center backs. How do you get after them? Because they're all unique, they're all different, they all have strengths, they all have areas you can expose. Is it you coming off them and playing underneath them? You know, how do you work those two types of center backs?
Yeah, you know, they're both big physical guys, very good in the air. So I think the more you can drag them out, kind of get them out of the middle and a little out of position, then the better off we're going to be going forward. And, you know, if whoever plays up top, we can combine and kind of get them moving laterally as opposed to just coming up, heading the ball out, the better off we're going to be at getting the ball wide and get crosses in.
Now, with those two guys and their aerial presence, is it a different type of delivery you're expecting from your wide play in this game? In other words, is it more driven in crosses and you nipping in front of people at the near post as opposed to hanging things up? You know, what changes? I mean, how do those guys alter maybe the way you guys as a team deliver the ball?
Yeah, obviously they're big bodies, but I think it's our movement still has to be very good. I think nothing really changes our movement-wise in the box, depending on who we're playing. But if they're just our crosses are going to be floated in, they're going to jump up and win them. They're physical. They're good in the air.
So I think we're going to have to be more pinpoint with our crosses, and we're going to have to finish our chances for sure, because they always get in good position to clear balls out.
Now, your other hope is that you guys get a good wide game going, and you know, you get behind people and pull them out of the middle so that you have a little
exactly.
bit more space, right?
Yeah, exactly. We don't want those two center backs to be just planted in the middle and just clearing balls out. We want them to be moving and running and getting pulled out and all which ways, and kind of get them out of their habitat, you know, kind of not get them very comfortable. So the more we can get them moving, the better for us.
I like that, out of the habitat, kind of going along with the whole Houston Zoo, Dancing Bear.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
So you got a future in radio, Will.
I know, exactly. I like it.
With a sharp mind like that and putting that together, you have a future in radio. So the Houston Zoo, I'm sure the Houston Zoo is appreciating this segment right now even more.
Oh, for sure.
Let's move on a little bit to you personally, because I've seen you change this year. I mean, I see a different confidence. I see almost a healthy anger in your game, and I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, for sure.
I see a more combative guy. How has this all occurred? Has this just happened organically? Is it the manager? Is it the way the culture of the team is set up? What is it?
You know, I think everything you said right there has been on point. It's just a change is good sometimes, you know. It's a bunch of new faces leading the way. We've got a bunch of new players coming in. It's almost like you got to reprove yourself, and, you know, that's good. I think that's healthy for everybody. And, you know, I'm a lot more excited this year to play, and that's just kind of my feeling so far. I look forward to every game, even in the heat of the summer. So I think that's something that's really important that's been huge for me.
Yeah, is it exciting to get to know new personalities like Lionel Miranda, like Kubo Torres, like, you know, Alex Lima, whoever it is? Is it exciting to kind of meet the new personalities and get kind of used to what these guys sort of like when it comes to the way they play the game on the field?
Yeah, for sure, because, you know, the guys around you can change the way that you play the game as well. And I think certain players bring out the best in other players, and sometimes some players don't combine well with others. But, you know, it's just trial and error and getting to see how certain cultures and certain people play and kind of implementing it all into a team has been very fun. And obviously Owen being a striker, scoring 300-plus goals has been something that's been huge for me as well.
Yeah, I know I asked you this the last time I interviewed you, but are any other little tips he's imparted to you on playing the position of striker?
No, he's really just said, you know, you got to have a short memory. You're not going to score every goal. If you scored every goal, every chance you got, you'd be playing with Messi. But, you know, you got to have a short memory, but control what you can control, and that's your work rate and your desire to beat your opponent on the other side of the line of you. And I think that's something that I've really implemented this year.
Enjoying the game, I guess, is a big piece of it, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. You got to enjoy what you do.
Will, listen, we wish you the best of luck on Saturday. Score some goals against Real Salt Lake, a game that people can actually catch also on Root Sports. But we recommend you get down there live. Get down there with like-minded individuals. Support Will Bruhn, the Houston Dynamo. Get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Will Bruhn, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
All right, thanks. Always fun, Glenn.
All right, he's the Dancing Bear. Nice plug there for the Houston Zoo as well. We'll take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. It's a 7-Up break.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. We've got the goalkeeper, Tyler Derrick. But before we get to Tyler, a quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you that you get over to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your season tickets. That's where you get your single game tickets. That's where you can see the Dynamo play three out of their next four at home. So Bud Light, again, encourage you, get down to BBVA Compass Stadium, get your season tickets. You can even get your 2016 season tickets for the Houston Dash. Bud Light, longtime sponsors of Dynamo All Access and Soccer Matters. And with that, we bring in the goalkeeper, Tyler Derrick. Tyler, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Glenn.
Yeah, so, you know, you and I were just talking off air here before we got on with this interview, and you said, you know, I just can't believe how fast the season's flown by. You go back to the Columbus game early in the year, and it seems like it's been a blink of the eye, hasn't it?
Yeah, no kidding. You know, I think kind of being a backup goalkeeper, I realize now that I'm a starter how naive I was throughout the whole process. And now that I'm starting, you know, the years has flown by, you know, the last stretch of games here to push the playoffs. And like I'm saying, it's just like yesterday we were playing Columbus. So a lot of learning lessons this year. You know, I'm very, very thankful and very happy for the season that I'm having.
Yeah, let's talk about the mental side of the game now, knowing, you know, that you are the number one goalkeeper. You are playing regularly. Is it a different mental challenge?
Yeah, I think now you're earlier in my career, you know, you're always trying to get better. And now, you know, you're just working for that consistency game in and game out. And you're trying to figure out what's, like, the right protocol, what's the right preparation to lead in the games all week to find that balance where you're still improving yourself, which every player wants to do, but you're also you're fresh and healthy and ready for the game on the weekend.
Has it been challenging for you with injuries at the back and guys in and out and sort of makeshift back four sometimes with international call-ups and people going down injured and suspended?
I wouldn't say it was difficult. It's a little different, but I've been around the guys for a while now, and we can just plug in guys. But it does take a little bit of time to get adjusted to certain guys. But I think it only takes about two or three games till you start recognizing tendencies of what players like what and how to talk to people and what information they need and what information they don't need. But I think overall I'm really really pleased with the guys who've been stepping up and having come in for the guys that are missing out on international duty and injuries and whatever.
Yeah, the guys that are in front of you, you know, let's see, David Horst, Raul Rodriguez, Kofi Sarkodie, DeMarcus Beasley, different guys, different personalities, all have to come together and play as one in a way. Do different guys respond to different sort of information from you, the goalkeeper, with your vantage point behind them?
Yeah, and especially for me, it's the information that you give has to be precise, but mainly it's the tone of voice, which you how you talk to people. You know, with certain guys, you can be a little bit harder on them, but certain guys, they need that encouragement to keep them up. But it's just finding that balance where you're keeping guys accountable, but you're also getting your message across.
Tyler Derrick joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Again, we know he's a local product here in Houston, but has had a very strong, very solid season. What have you learned now being the primary starter, you know, week in and week out this year, outside of the fatigue and the push mentally and physically?
I think that mistakes are going to happen, and, you know, you can't always dwell on the mistakes. You know, whenever I was on the bench, I was always looking at the goalkeeper, like, Tally, and be like, oh, man, you made a mistake there, like, if that was me, I wouldn't make that mistake. But, you know, it's completely different whenever you get in, like what I was saying earlier about being naive. But, yeah, you know, as a goalkeeper, you're going to make mistakes. And you want to have the 100% performances every week. But realistically, that's not always the case. But, you know, once you make that one mistake, it's about learning from it and moving on.
Midfield is such a key piece to any team, in any league, in any part of the world. When Ricardo Clark is out, there is a notable absence, and this is no spike on anybody, but this is a guy who's played in a World Cup and is just so vital to this team. Does the team change a little bit when there's no Rico Clark out there?
You know, for me, I think Rico has been our best player this season. You know, at his age, he's one of the older players on the leagues, and you can notice that he brings a different energy. He brings an organization about him, and we can do different things with our formation. You know, once we plugged Rico in there, we were able to take out a midfielder and put in two strikers. And I think, for me, Rico has been the best player of the season, you know, and people don't see it, but the guy takes care of his body every minute of the day. You know, he's always in the trainer's room. He's always trying to improve himself and keep his body fresh. And right now he's got tape from the bottom of his feet all the way up to the top of his hamstrings. But somehow the guy, at his age, he's able to do it every single week. So, it's great to see a professional like Ricardo Clark every day.
How about for you? Has it been difficult? Because you're one of the mainstays. You're one of the pieces that's here week in and week out. But has it been difficult with, you know, the Giles Barneses of the world coming in and out, with Boniek Garcia in and out? Does that make it difficult?
Well, you see, like, the veteran players, and, you know, they've already had their established positions on the starting 11. And for me, it's just kind of coming in and trying to find my voice within the team. And I've been around a while, but I haven't had the starting experience. But I do feel like I offer a lot from what I've seen with the club and been around for a while, ever since the days at U of H and all the way now at our new stadium. But, you know, it's just trying to find that voice about
when to give my input to the younger players, or even when to speak up against the veteran players. So for this year, it's always been a challenge for me with trying to find that the voice among the 11.
He's Tyler Derrick, Dynamo goalkeeper, joining us here ahead of the Dynamo Real Salt Lake this Saturday. This is a huge one at BBVA Compass Stadium. You can get your tickets over at HoustonDynamo.com. All right, Real Salt Lake, it's a different team now. Jason Kreis has moved on to New York City FC as the manager. What stands out to you about Real Salt Lake? And is it a different team now that Jason Kreis is not around?
I wouldn't say they're a different team, but, you know, with the midfielders that they got, Javier Morales, he's always a playmaker, and he deserves it. He had a great game against us last time. But, you know, for me, going there and losing 2-0, I still have a chip on my shoulder for giving away that result when we were on a run of decent results. But, you know, they got quality midfielders, and they got great strikers. But I think if we can hold down the midfield and we can stay organized, I really like our chances this weekend.
Yeah, where's the confidence level right now, Tyler? Because you guys got to win a lot of games here. You're still in it. You're within striking distance, but there's not a lot of room for slip-ups anymore now. Limited points available, limited games left. It's really about win-win-win now.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, the mentality going along the team is that we need to win every single game for the rest of the season if we want to have a great shot at making playoffs. And the morale is there. I tell you what, Glenn, like the guys, we look at each other each day, and we know as a group if we bring it, then we can easily accomplish our goals of making playoffs and making a run from there.
Yeah, let's talk about the new sort of regime that's in here now. Owen Coyle, new staff, a lot of newness, new general manager, structural changes here. It seems to me that everybody's very excited. Everybody seems very engaged, and it seems all the players feel as though they've got real possibility week in and week out.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a transition period right now. But if you look at the lineup we're putting on the field, there's no reasons that the results can slip. You don't need to add. Just because it's a transition period doesn't mean you're going to have an off year. It just means that we're implementing new philosophies. You know, we have a new strength and conditioning coordinator, and there's a lot more money being put into the team. But I think that's no excuse for us not to make playoffs or anything. But I think with everything that has happened this year with international duty and players leaving, you know, we got a strong squad and we have a great roster. The starting 11 that we're putting out on the field, there's no reason we can't make the playoffs.
Three out of the next four at home for the Houston Dynamo, starting with Real Salt Lake this Saturday. Then they go to the Philadelphia Union. Then it's Sporting Kansas City back here in Houston, and then the Colorado Rapids. So, boy, you win you win all your games at home here, go down and nick a result in Philadelphia. I mean, things could change very rapidly here, Tyler.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we know that at the end of the season we got Vancouver, L.A., and Seattle, and those are going to be tough games. So there's no doubt that we have to take care of business earlier on and not leave it for later on in the season. But our focus right now is just on Salt Lake this weekend and getting 3 points.
Now, you yourself, if you mirror and look at goalkeepers around the world, and I know I've asked you this question before, are there specific goalkeepers that you sort of watch and you admire and you like their style and presence in the way they play the game and goal?
Yeah, for a while I've been saying David De Gea has been one of the top goalkeepers I've been looking at. You know, when he made his move to Manchester United, it was really tough for him to get adjusted to the Premier League, how physical it was, but he was a young player. But even then, I was saying he's going to be a top goalkeeper. And we've seen over the past couple of years that he's been Manchester United player of the season for the past 2 years. And so he's definitely a goalkeeper that I like to watch. Unfortunately, this season, it hasn't really panned out that he's been on the field. But, you know, hopefully with all the contract negotiations going on with Madrid and Manchester United, that we'll see him tomorrow against Liverpool. Or sorry, Saturday against Liverpool.
Yeah, do you think he's going to start? That's an interesting thing to contemplate because his heart was set on going to Real Madrid, and deal never got done. Boy, you got to wonder if Manchester United, you know, can sort of revive him and get him back in the fold mentally, or what happens. And you're right, there is the potential that who knows, Louis van Gaal may just play him Saturday against Liverpool.
I know, with a manager like that, you never know what's going to happen. But personally, I hope he gets back on the field because he's a great goalkeeper to watch. His presence in goal, his shot-stopping ability, his one-on-one ability, he really has been one of the best goalkeepers in the world.
Flip side of that, though, is if he's thrust right back into the starting lineup, you could lose Sergio Romero then, mentally.
Yeah, you know, you have to have two strong goalkeepers at all times, you know, especially with them qualifying for Champions League. But, you know, they also have Victor Valdez on their roster, so they're not in any loss for goalkeepers at Manchester United.
All right, let's get your favorite opponent in Major League Soccer when it comes to a goalkeeper. Who do you admire in MLS?
I think David Alstead. He's had a great year. You know, it was great to play against him last week. He had a great save in the second half against us, and I really like him as a goalkeeper. He's a great athlete. He's a really nice guy, and his presence in goal, you know, he makes a lot of big saves, but even when he's not making big saves, you know that he's always involved in the game. So Alstead, he's deserving of being an All-Star this year, and he's a great goalkeeper to watch.
Well, Tyler, you've had an outstanding year yourself. Finish it off strong. Best of luck Saturday against Real Salt Lake, and thanks again for taking the time out to join us here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right, the one and only Tyler Derrick, born right here in Houston, honed his craft here on local youth fields. He will be in goal for the Dynamo against Real Salt Lake this Saturday night. Don't miss it down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. We'll wrap it up here tonight. Quick reminder here, it's Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. That's where you get all the podcasts. For producer Michael Carroll, I'm Glenn Davis. Have a great night.